Thank you, Teresa. If you will, just indulge me just a moment to look around a little bit and see some familiar faces. It's good to be home, and it's good to be with you folks this morning. Dale mentioned June 11th, 78. Teresa and I got married at was the Gospel Center, so last Friday was her 32nd year anniversary, and as she said, she was saved through this fellowship, and I'm thankful for the foundation that was set here at the Gospel Center, Grove Park Chapel, that it was about the Word of God. It was about lifting up the Lord Jesus Christ. It was about making disciples. It was about praising and worshiping the one who is worthy of worship and praise. The one who alone is worthy of worship and praise. And my gratitude continues as we now have three grandchildren. And what was instilled in Teresa's life and she into her sons and her sons. I'm sorry. Haven't seen those grandbabies in a week or so. But what the sons have instilled along with their wives into these grandchildren. And it continues. And by God's grace and by His plan and His sovereign will and purposes, may it continue to grow in the same way. It was also in June of 98 that Teresa and I drove a U-Haul into Hog Path Road, Greenville, Ohio, to start with three other families, six adults and their children. What God had called us to do in planting a church in Dark County. Our motto was to bring love, life, and light to Dark County and the world. And we partnered with God. He called us to partner with Him, along with you folks. The ministry there in Dark County would not have happened if it were not for the prayers and the support of the saints here in this church. And you can go on a web today, greenvillegrace.org, and see what God continues to do with that fellowship that grew from four families that today, by His grace and to His praise and to His glory alone, they are having two services. They're overflowing as far as the facilities. They're having a run on babies. The nurseries are absolutely run over to capacity. And the seed of that was Grove Park Chapel once again. And so we are indebted to you. And you partnered with us. You will meet people in heaven who will say, we found the Lord Jesus in a trash can. And you'll say, wait a minute, what are you talking about? And the reality is that a couple had been doing custodial work in a doctor's office. The doctor was one of our elders who had come to our church. And one of the bulletins had been pitched into the garbage can. They pulled it out and they said, let's go to this church. Let's check it out. And the young man, when he came the first Sunday, I greeted him. And I had met his wife. She was a secretary in an insurance business when we first came. And I just yelled out, Ellie, Ellie. And Jeff, her husband Jeff, he said, I'm Catholic. I'm not getting a thing out of it. So we're looking. And it was about 2 months later that Danny, who is now our teaching pastor there at Grace, went to see Jeff and Ellie, and they both prayed to receive Christ as Savior and Lord. They were soon after baptized, and they're still continuing in the faith there at Grace. And I could tell you all afternoon stories of people who, one who got saved on a rooftop, and he's the principal of the high school in Greenville today. His wife has been battling cancer for 3 years, and she has two little ones. But Chris was working with a believer from our church, one of our elders, and they were putting a new roof on a house, and they both were kind of tied together with a rope. And Bill, the elder, said, "You know, Chris, if I fall off this house, I know where I'm headed. I'm going to glory. I'm going to go to heaven." He said, "How about you? Because you're tied to me. You're going with me." And at that moment, Bill shared the gospel of Jesus Christ to Chris, and Chris gave his life to the Lord, and the Lord has been Chris's anchor through these last 3 years of turmoil. So thank you, and if you get a tap on the shoulder in heaven by one of these folks from Dark County, Ohio, one of these Buckeyes, and they begin to share how gracious God is in His grace and His mercy, His salvation, His love, and you are the instruments, then you'll be praising Him likewise. We took a little detour for 3 years. We took a detour here for 3 years. And Shirley Morrison reminded me that sometimes God is never late. He's always on time, but He doesn't always say no. He just says whoa. And sooner or later, He brings you to what He has called you to do, and that's church plant. I was in Roanoke, Virginia a couple of weeks ago, and I was sharing the reality that we were going to be church planting, and that God had brought us away from Ohio because of a health issue for our daughter-in-law, who by God's sovereign purposes and grace healed her of her brain tumor. While pregnant, was with taking chemo, she stopped the chemo to protect the baby. Her doctor said, "You are signing your death sentence." And she, at 23 years of age, said, "I'll leave that up to God. It's in His sovereign plan and purposes." Following from November to April, Dr. Friedman, the oncologist at Duke, said, "Elizabeth, your MRIs are completely clear. We declare you cancer-free. When your baby comes in July, there's no reason for you to go back on your chemo," which we were just so thankful for. And so that began our pursuit to do what God would have us do as far as ministry. We administered in a church. Ministered to our children, and now God has called us to Greensboro, North Carolina. Some have said we've gone green. I went to school in Greenville, South Carolina. Teresa went to school in Greenville, North Carolina. We planted a church in Greenville, Ohio. I met some dear folks over here from Greenville, Tennessee. And now we're going to Greensboro. So I guess maybe God's got a sense of humor or something with that. But that's where we're headed. He's orchestrated it completely, totally by His sovereign plan. Two pastors out of the Roanoke Blue Ridge District of Grace Brethren Churches called me up the same day back in March, not knowing that the other was contacting me, and said, "We understand that you're a church planter. We want to plant a church. Are you available?" And I said, "Yes." And the other guy had emailed me with the same question, and we said yes. And we were affirmed by their fellowship to do this work, and they're the sending, along with all the other believers, followers of Jesus Christ, who are considered brothers and sisters in Christ. So we're headed to Greensboro. We're not there as far as residence. Tuesday we'll finalize that. We'll have a house that we're going to be renting that is probably due north of where Dale grew up in Brown Summit. And it's just a little east of where you grew up in Stokesdale. And I met someone this morning who said he was from Greensboro. So, and Doyle was from Greensboro. It's amazing what God's doing. We are going to Greensboro by God's grace, by His plan, by His purpose, by His call, with no particular strategy. We're not going there with big money backing or any of those things. We are going with what we started out with, $200 more than when we went to Ohio. That was $800. And then the Blue Ridge District said they'd give us $1,000. And so we said, we'll go. And God provided in Ohio, and He's going to provide in Greensboro. So it's not about finances. It's about His Word, that His Word does not return void. That the Apostle Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to all who believe, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. The gospel of Jesus Christ does not make us ashamed because we know it is the power of God to salvation. It is not me. It is not Teresa. It is not you. It is not our wisdom or our flamboyancy or our charisma or our intelligence. It's when people who are passionate about an eternal God who left glory and heaven and worship to come to that which He created in order that He would become our sin substitute. There's no greater love than this, than that He laid down His life for you and me. And what does that say? That says He is awesome. He is awesome in His love. He is awesome in His holiness, that He cannot bear sin, that He must judge sin. And we are sinners. We have broken His law. We have broken His commandments. We stand guilty before Him. We are deserving of the punishment and the judgment of the sentence of the sins that we have committed. And we stand guilty before an all-holy God. But in His grace, He has provided an escape for us. He has provided a way that relationship and righteousness can be restored, that we can be called the sons of God, that we are clothed in the righteousness of the Lamb. We who are here this morning are literally on shouting ground. We are on shouting grounds in the reality that we are here this morning. If we have professed Christ as Savior, Lord, Master of our lives, then our sins, as Teresa is saying, our chains are gone. We've been set free. Christ has clothed us in His righteousness. We stand before an all-holy God who cannot look upon sin in the righteousness of His Son. And this is absolutely mind-boggling, but God looks at us positionally as He does His Son. As holy as Jesus Christ is, as sinless as the Lamb is, because we are clothed in His righteousness, God looks at us as He does His Son in His righteousness. Now, I know in practice, I blow it all the time. I really fail constantly. And I just wonder, how could I ever be accepted by God into His presence? And I can't, in of myself, in and of my righteousness, and my goodness, and my own merit. I can't. But through faith, by His grace alone, I am recognized and declared as righteous as the Son. That is the message. That is what we will bring to Greensboro, North Carolina, as we did to Greenville, Ohio, that you have the privilege to bring to Greenville, Tennessee, or East Tennessee, or here in Durham County and Wake County and the counties adjoining this area. God has not only brought us to a place of relationship with Him, but He has commissioned us. We have the privilege to share this good news of Jesus Christ. There are three things I just want to hit real quick here in just thought there that I've been thinking about tremendously. And the last one we'll go to some passage on. But the first is that, what does the Word say? The heavens declare the glory of God. But God has revealed Himself, who He is, who we are, what our needs are, what our purposes are, through His Word. And we are to know Him through His Word. And as we study His Word and place it in our hearts, then we live it out. We trust His Word and we obey His Word. And the Word is the thing that is constantly attacked. It is the truth versus a lie. And when we follow the lie, we fall into idolatry. But when we are anchored in the Word and we know the Word, then we can worship God and be obedient to Him and follow Him and love Him and commune with Him because we have the truth. God has declared Himself as the God of truth. His Word is the Word of truth. His Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man can come to the Father but by me. And it's constantly the difference between the truth and the lie. And always the lie is subtle. It is so subtle. And I think in Christianity today, one of the things that I'm seeing is that we have presented a gospel that is partial truth. It is a gospel that Jesus Christ is Savior, but we've not made Him Lord. We've not relinquished. We've not abandoned self. And Jesus says, if you are to be my what? Disciple, you must what? Deny yourself. Take up your cross and follow me. Follow me. Follow me. God is looking for believers who are following Him, who are slaves to Him, who are bondservants to Him, who are saying, the reason I am here, as the Westminster Catechism says, the chief end of man is to worship God, to glorify God, and enjoy Him forever. Our purpose for being on this planet Earth is not for ourselves, but it's for His worship, it is for His praise, it is for His glory, it is for our obedience to Him. There are two passages I want you to look at with me just right now in this idea of truth and following and worshiping Him. The first, these are in the Old Testament. The first is Jeremiah 29. Jeremiah 29. Christianity is not simply that Jesus loves me or that Jesus died for me, because the object ends with what? With those phrases. Me. But He loves me because He is love. And He died for me because He is holy and He has demonstrated His love. And therefore, the result of that salvation experience is not simply for me. I am deserving of death. I am deserving of judgment. If I got what I deserve, I would get the judgment of God. But God, because He is gracious, see where it's going? It's worship of Him. It's praise of Him. Yes, I'm saved. It's a wonderful thing. It's a glorious thing. But all the praise and all the worship and all the credit goes to Him. He alone is worthy. So there are two things here, beginning in Jeremiah 29 and verse 12. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you. Our Heavenly Father, who has brought us to Himself, declares this to you and to me this morning. Please listen to this carefully. He says, when you seek me with all of your heart, you will find me. How much of God do you want? That's my question this morning. How much do you want God just on a Sunday morning? Do you want God in such a real, tangible way that you recognize and you see His hand and His actions in your life daily? And that what He is doing and what you've just witnessed is truly from Him. He says, when you seek me with your whole heart, wholeheartedly, completely, without reserve, that's a follower of Jesus Christ. That's what He's calling us for. And it doesn't matter what the age is. And we're seeing across this nation, literally thousands and thousands of young people, in particular the college age, just really, quote, being turned on to Jesus Christ. They are passionate about Him. And they are saying, I want my life to count. Got a phone call yesterday from a sister in Ohio. Her testimony is just so fantastic. I don't have time to share it. But she got a call from her daughter in Indianapolis who said, Mom, our church is going to plant a church in Anderson, Indiana. And Marco and I are thinking about being a part of that. And her mom said, well, the Pierces are going to do one in Greensboro. Think about that. But here's a young couple that are 28 years old who are just saying, with a little daughter, saying, Lord, we want all of you we can possibly get. We want to be the living sacrifice that's holy and pleasing to you. So that is to be our passion, to know Him completely. And what happens with that? Look with me to Isaiah chapter 26. Isaiah 26. Isaiah 26 and verse 8. Yes, Lord, walking in the way of your laws, we wait for you. This is that seeking and knowing and going to the Word and studying and digesting all the morsels, the wonderful morsels of the Word of God and Him pouring into you. And as that happens, what happens is that it doesn't just stop here. It doesn't just stop with Daniel Pierce. But then it's turned outward. When God burns within my heart and gives me a passion for Himself, then He'll give me a passion for others. As the rest of this verse is completed, your name and renown are the desires of our heart. Every church that proclaims the good news of Jesus Christ, the gospel of Jesus Christ across this nation, across this globe, not only proclaims He is rich in His mercies, in His grace, in His presence in my life, in His power in my life, but I want that to be known to the uttermost parts of the earth. That passion and desire for Him and love for Him then becomes a passion for others that they may know Him. It doesn't stop within the walls of a church. It goes out into the street. It goes to the little cafe at Oak Ridge, North Carolina. And I'm sitting there across this at a table. And Teresa and I, the first week, and we saw this lady and this guy come in. They're coming in their English riding outfits. And we're thinking, oh my, I don't know if we're going to fit into this community. Teresa takes off looking at some shops, and I'm sitting across from these folks, and I said, well, what kind of horses do you have? And they said, we have saddlebreds. And I said, well, I love horses. That's all it took right there. And conversation started. The lady was talking a little bit, and she had a bit of an accent. And I said, you have a little bit of an accent. She just laughed and laughed. She said, I have a lot of an accent. And I said, well, where are you from? She said, Czechoslovakia. For some of you, you know, my grandparents were immigrants from Czechoslovakia. My mom and Aunt Mel were Czech. So I say to this lady, ja sem dobre Czech. Her face lights up. She's smiling. You're Czech. I said, well, kind of. And we realized it doesn't matter whether people are of great affluence, great influence, whatever. They're the same all over the globe. They need the Lord Jesus Christ. You show them a little kindness. You speak kindly to them. You engage them in sincere conversation. And the doors open. And I can tell you, since we've just been in Oak Ridge, we've had the doors open to about four or five other people. And we know that when we become passionate about our Savior who gave his life for us, who is totally beyond comprehension, our God is. Totally beyond comprehension. And yet, as infinitely high as he is, he's intimately nigh. And he has as much time to see the billions of stars in the space that he's named one by one, and yet he can call Daniel by name as well, and you by name as well. And when we see that, we have a burning desire to share this good news with Jesus, with others. I'm just going to throw out these things, and then I'm going to go ask you to turn to Matthew. Go ahead and turn to Matthew with me. Matthew 14, okay? So we want to bring the truth, God's truth, clear truth of what salvation is, what it means to be a disciple, that it's not a, quote, easy believism, even though the gospel message is very simple and clear. Salvation is free, but it came at such a great cost. And we want to make the gospel message clear, so the truth of God's word. There are two other areas that I believe have been hijacked, have been stolen from evangelical churches today. One is faith. We don't know. We do not know how to exercise biblical faith. And the other is the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. We don't know how to rely upon the Holy Spirit. It's just like, okay, he was great in the book of Acts, but where is he today? And my cry and my passion and my burden and my heart is that when we go to Greensboro, it will not be a plan devised by Daniel Pierce, but that the Holy Spirit of God will breathe in such a way that he will open the doors and he will close the doors. And that we will exercise by faith and obedience to follow those doors and go where he says and speak to whom he says to speak, but that we will be directed by the Holy Spirit. When Pentecost happened, 3,000 people got saved. And you see this mass crusade, so to speak, and then the next chapter you see that they're speaking to one poor little cripple and they're... It's not just the masses, but it's one-on-one with people. Matthew 14, a familiar story here. Immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side. While he dismissed the crowd, after he had dismissed them, he went on to a mountainside by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone, but the boat was already a considerable distance from the land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. During the fourth watch, somewhere between 3 and 6 a.m., The fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. Remember in the preceding verses it said that there were considerable waves. It was quite a storm that the Lord was walking on. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. Hello? I think I would be too. It's a ghost, they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." There are so many messages, so many sermons in these verses. Here is the eternal God who created this earth, walking on the water as we would walk on this concrete padded floor here, because he is the God creator. And here's the storm. But where was the storm? Mr. McDonald in his commentary says, the storm was under his feet. What storm are you going through in life? What battles do you go through in life? It's under the Savior's feet. He is the one in control. He is the one who reigns. And this is the second part of this. "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." One, Peter recognized that this is the eternal God. And it's by his word, his authority, his truth, that he can do anything. A mortal man even walk on water if God calls. I'm not preaching a name it, claim it here this morning. Not at all. What I am preaching here is that Peter realized something that I don't realize too often. And that is when God speaks and he calls, he's going to enable. If by faith I get out of the boat and step out on the water. Right now, we encourage some 15 people the other evening, Friday evening, people from connection to the chapel here and folks that are up in Virginia, a couple who drove down from Ohio that were in our church there that are praying about selling their houses and moving down and being a part of a core group to go to Greensboro. We have a family that they have 6 biological children and they adopted 2 more. And they're praying about coming to Greensboro to help start a church. That's getting out of the boat. That's stepping out on the water. And it's resting completely and on the command of God. God said, come. Come. That's all it took. That was the word. That was the promise. That was sufficient for Peter to get out on the water. And he did so. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You have little faith," he said. "Why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Imagine that. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Here it is, in full circle. God manifesting himself in glory and in power in order that people would worship him. The reason we're going to go to Greensboro to plant a church is not because Greensboro needs another church. It's because when the gospel of Jesus Christ is brought to people in Greensboro who have never heard and they commit their lives to Jesus Christ, it shouts praise and glory and honor to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And my brothers and sisters here at Grove Park Chapel, that's why we're here. That's why you're here. That as you go forth from this place, that you step out of the boat in faith, that the Lord has commanded us and commissioned us to give this good news of salvation and relationship, that we would glorify him and enjoy him forever. Do you know him this morning? Have you stepped out of the boat? Are you experiencing faith by the guidance and the counsel of the Holy Spirit, because you've been in His Word and you know the truth. Let us pray. Lord God, I thank you for this day. Lord, it would be just another day and a total waste of time to be here if it were not for you. God, our whole purpose and plan on this earth is that whatever we do in word or deed, it will bring glory to you. I pray for these, my brothers and sisters here in this community called Grove Park and the surrounding areas. And I pray that, God, you will do in their hearts and their lives what you did in Peter's. Lord, that whatever you command, that they have heard from your voice, they will have confidence in, that they can follow and be obedient to and trust. And the result will not be that they're somebody or that we're somebody, but that you are everything. And it's in the name of our matchless Lord and Savior we pray. Amen.